This podcast is brought to you by iGel. iGel offers the next generation edge operating system designed for simple, secure, and high performance access to virtual desktops and cloud workspaces. Easy to implement and straightforward to operate.
At the third stroke, it will be.
Hello and welcome to EUC Digest, your bi-weekly audio snack on everything EUC related. In today's show, we'll be talking about how technology can make a difference in the world. But before we dive into this topic, please allow us to introduce ourselves. My name is Johan van Amersfoort and I'm your host for today's episode. And with me is Kees Bacheman. Kees, how are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Everybody else, working from home, which for me is not an unusual thing to do. I work from home when I'm not traveling. I guess the traveling piece is out of the question for a while, but family is still healthy. I'm still healthy, or still in the state that I was a couple of weeks ago. And I'll let you be the judge of how healthy that is.
Right, like healthy-ish.
Yeah, exactly. Healthy-ish. Yeah, so I'm doing okay. Thank you. How are you doing, man?
Good. Same thing. Working from home. Used to that, like in general. But yeah, it's kind of weird to be like more or less more at home than normal. You know, it's quite hard to do to go exercising at a gym or so. I'm actually building my own gym at home and. To do some of the CrossFit workouts I would normally do at the gym, and we'll see how that goes in the next couple of weeks. Cool. So we have a guest, right?
Yeah.
Oh, but yep. Before no. Guest, yeah, yep. Guest. Before you start talking, Case, do you what did you find out about our guest?
Yeah, obviously, with all of our guests, we do a little bit of research, and before you introduce yourself, guest. Let me show you a little bit of what we found. Our guest of today loves to organize events. You might know him from the Dutch Citrix User Group, which is close to my heart because I'm part of the organization there as well. But most people that live in a small town in the Achterhoek, which is, a very familiar region for most of the Dutch people listening to this podcast, but not so known in the broader audience. But they might also know him as one of the organizers of the IJbergse Feestweek. Hey, guest, could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks for that, Kees. Yeah, my name is Nick Boefink. I'm a Citrix sales engineer. Responsible for our last commercial accounts in the Netherlands. And what you mentioned was right. I'm one of the people in the Dutch user group helping to organize two times a year that event. Now you know everything about it because you're also in the steering group. And beside that, I'm also in a group that does the local, also two times a year. We have a weekend where everybody is going to have a drink together with some bands and some attractions there. So also now due Corona, we have almost a bi-weekly call about how we're going to proceed because it was scheduled for within 4 weeks. So you can imagine that this is now being discussed what we're going to do with it.
Hey Nick, yes. I love how you're kind of downplaying the value of the event, but you mentioned bands. Could you talk about what bands you typically get on your event? Because I know for a fact that it's not just bands; it's like familiar names out there.
You are almost my age, a little bit younger, but back in time during the 90s. We had all kind of DJs like the DJ June and Paul Elstak and that kind of people. So in the last few years, we did a Saturday 90s party where we had DJ Jean or DJ Paul Elstak. So you can imagine that the it was packed. And it were about 600 people, I think. having lots of fun over there. And in the other days, it's more or less sessions with not that famous bands. But yeah, it's great to be part of that and have some nice partying over here.
Just to add, I'm not just younger than you are, I'm also prettier than you are. So I just wanted to get that on record.
Well, and okay, I guess Nick is a bit taller than you are, right?
Well, just a little bit, but I'm faster.
you become faster in the last year.
Cool, guys. Hey, well,
let's get started. Yeah. Do you want to go ahead with the first question, Johan?
Yeah, definitely. Like I mentioned in the intro, today's topic is about technology and how we can use that for greater good. And to set the stage, I think it's good to talk about the greater good in general. So technology has enabled for many possibilities. And take a 3D printer, for instance. I have one at home, and I mostly use it for, print useful stuff I use on a daily basis, like camera mounts for my action cams or what people might have downloaded from my site or seen during one of the presentations I gave is like a custom fan duct for the Tesla GPUs I use in my lab. But, you know, a 3D printer is also a great tool to print stuff like prosthetics in case someone, loses a limb or needs some kind of prosthetic in case of an emergency. And you see that.
Hey, Johan,
Did
you see recently that due to the virus outbreak in Italy, they one of the hospitals got in a 3D printer and they were printing the intubation tubes for for patients that came in? Yeah, so they're using 3D printers to actually kind of leverage technology to sustain in what they have in materials and equipment. I thought it was a really good use case for that.
Again, a great example of how technology is being used for the greater good. And as most of the project I've been personally involved with are related to academic hospitals, I've also seen that our own technology, so we are all three working in kind of in the EUC space or the virtualization space or in that space in general. And we've seen those technologies being used as a force for good or for the greater good as well. Look at doctors and nurses who help patients on a daily basis. If they can easily or help those patients easier, faster, or from like remote locations as well, that can make a difference. So, Nick, to take it to you. So, what's your take? You know, you work for an EUC vendor and have a lot of experience in bigger customers as well. So, what's your take on all this?
Yeah, I totally agree with this. I see a lot of organizations now with the corona. It's a nice example. You see, there's now a disruption in everywhere, and we see now that we can be the enabler to make it really easy to work from home, so that even people can stay productive with their complete tool set of application that they need and work from every place. And you can imagine in the last couple of weeks that it started small, and now we have almost closed down of the complete of Netherlands and lockdown is not that far away. And for me personally, the last couple of weeks, it was really packed with a lot of conference calls and how we were able to do something with the business disruption and help them move forwards. And we also now see, in the hospitals, people having issues with facing people, and they are now scared to get the corona. So with all the products that we guys have, it's possible to do it from another location or a more centralized location with less contamination. So you see that they can do a lot of really cool stuff with that and help now the organizations. And for me personally, I worked closely with an organization in the last couple of months. And what I did, I really digged into their process and I looked into that, how I can help them to make the process lots more fluent. And help them with that, because there were also stuff with HIPAA and GDPR, but we get into that, I think, a little bit after this. But yeah, there's now a lot of stuff going out there. You see a lot of also regulations, et cetera, it has to be safe. So with this, yeah, we see that we can help with that a lot. And it's really, that's the thing that drives you and drives me to go to my work and help people. So I really enjoy this.
Cool. We already talked a bit in a previous podcast with some other guests about remote working and showing some tips and tricks related to that topic. If you look at remote services being delivered by organizations in either the healthcare space or the educational space, where are you seeing that this is going, and what could the benefit of technology potentially be?
Yeah, what we see, and maybe I can make it a little bit more in details, because what I see with a lot of organizations is that the current IT level it's not like IT how we would love to have it. And to get into more details, you see everybody uses applications on their phone to book an hotel or a flight. It's really that easy, simple application with three mouse sweeps. You can order a ticket or a hotel room. But if you plot that on an enterprise organization, you see that a lot of applications over there are now not having, that kind of behavior, or it doesn't look like that. It's more or less old experience. And I think that a lot of enterprise software is now, giving you the problem to deliver the experience to your employees that you want. So we now see a lot of changes in the application landscape. So you see a lot of SaaS or web applications coming. And with that, I think we are now in the starting point of going into the next phase of employee experience and make it lots better than it's now currently at this stage.
Cool. And what I know is that related to this topic, and you had an idea, right? You had an idea and turned that idea into something called a demo. Yep. and won a really awesome award related to the demo, right?
Yeah, you're right. You're well informed. What we have within Citrix, we have every year, we have our sales kickoff in January. And a few months before that, we are all asked if we have a good idea for a demo. And if the demo is chosen, then you can show your demo on stage during the sales kickoff. So what I did last year, I sent my demo in and they choose me. Then I was with three other finalists asked to come to our headquarters in America, in Santa Clara, and we worked there 2 days on our demo. And the last day, we had a lot of fun over there. We went to Napa Valley, so that was really 3 days we worked on with people who were on stage every day, and we are almost born on stage. So they looked at our session and gave us feedback to how to make it better. And then in January, I did the demo, and I won there. What my demo was is that I looked a couple of months ago where I wanted to see where I can help and show and demo how our products can be beneficial for the total of the employee experience. So what I did, I looked at something I'm familiar with an organization that I work closely with. It's an adoption agency in the Netherlands. And what they do, they shared with me some insights about their process. So you can imagine that this process, there's a waiting parents, people who want to adopt a child. You have a birth mother, someone who gives her child to adoption. You have an organization in the Netherlands and you have an organization in America. And the process takes normal-wise a couple of years. So in that period, a lot of documents are shared between all of them. And also the guidelines with HIPAA and GDPR are in place. And if you now look at the process, it's lots of documents are sent over and also medical-related documents. So and they don't want to do it like they do it now. But they don't have at this moment a solution for this.
So the challenge in general is first of all is related to a great time that's required to fulfill the whole process.
Yep.
But also there are many stakeholders involved that are all located in a different area or a different country or
different time zones.
Different time zones. But also have different types of regulations.
Yep.
And probably all use different types of tools to work on those documents or to be part of the process, right?
Yeah, and to give you some more insights, I reached out to the director of the Dutch organization to get some info. And she mentioned me a couple of things that I also weren't aware of. But they have to save documents for at least 100 years.
Really?
Wow. You can imagine what that does. And they now send also medical information through email. They don't want to do it, but they don't have an alternative. And it's a small organization with only a few people working there, but they get at least 150 or 200 emails per day where they have to do something with it because everything is email related. So everything is now into that process. And they also had to log into the virtual apps and desktop environment for everything they wanted to do. So you can imagine this is all very time consuming and not productive. And this is only the side from the people who work in the adoption agency. But also when you look at the process from the waiting family, because that's also, you have two sides of this. And that's always, I think, a good approach to look at the customer side, but also at the employee side. When you look at the customer side, you see that those people are, it's a stressful procedure, I can imagine, and emotional. And now what they have to do, every document that they have and they receive, they have to sign it. Because what they have to do is they print the document, then sign it, then scan it, then send it to the agency back. And you see that they have a maximum email size in the email box. So you can imagine what happens. They get a bounce and they have to figure out at their own how they can send emails through that organization. So they start using tools like Dropbox or WeTransfer, et cetera, et cetera.
1999 called. They wanted their email services back.
Yes, but to be honest, if you look at it, this is where I'm now looking at was an adoption agency. But if you ever bought a house in the last couple of years, you see that this is also still the procedure that they use with debt organizations.
Johan, would you say that that IT in most organizations is still a cost center versus a business enabler?
Yeah, I think what the problem is, and that was also when I talked to this director of the Dutch adoption agency, they aren't aware of the amount of tools that are out there, and they do their best, but there's nobody telling them, okay, if you look into the process, things can really make easier for them. And that's maybe a good, and that's what I did. I looked at the process, and what I did then is I started to look at our product stack. And what I did, I looked at what we have recently announced. It's Works Visible Intelligence. So what I did, I showed, okay, if you move into the workspace with intelligence and you look into what happens there, one of the things is that every birth mother sends a lot of expenses to the adoption agency. So what you can do with the workspace with intelligence is make it really easy for a caseworker with one single click to look into the expense and also approve or decline it. And the same is about medical information. Even birth mother has done a visit to the doctor, then all information about that visit is sent to the adoption agency, and they send it to the people, the waiting parents in the Netherlands. Also, this is normal-wise time-consuming event. What you can do with this is you can make it a workflow, put it in the workspace with intelligence, and you can say, okay, you get a message as a caseworker, there's now a new medical record. With one single click, you can say, okay, I send it through the waiting family that's connected to this birth mother. So that makes a normal process really much, much easier for them. And sometimes documents, when you work with America, a document is only 1 year valid, and then you have to legalize it again. And it's handy for the waiting parents that they get a reminder, let's say 2 months in front of, and they get an email and, okay, keep in mind, your documents have to be renewed within 2 months. So all this is more in the solution, really easy. That's the thing that we can do for a caseworker, but also when you look at the customers, so the waiting parents, I mentioned that they now have to do everything. They have to print it, they have to sign it, and they have to scan it, and that takes a lot of time. And we have a product that's also impossible from within the workspace that has the option to do e-sign. And we all know this is there for ages, but not a lot of organizations use this. So what I added and showed to in my demo is, okay, if you now use Citrix files with the e-sign option, then you can, the only thing that you have to do as a caseworker is say, okay, this is my PDF that I want to have signed. These are the fields that they have to put their signing. And then then you can send the document to the waiting parents, and they can sign it directly electronic. And they don't have to do all the stuff with printing, scanning, and sending back. So, it doesn't leave the data center, because it's also for the GDPR and the HIPAA. It's way more better and easier to do it like that. But this is, to be honest, guys, how long is eSign already out there? It's there for ages, but you see that a lot of people dig into a process and say, okay, we can make this really easier. Let's do it like this.
And it's also legally binding, and that's I think what a lot of people forget as well. You know, there are a lot of solutions out there that can be integrated in your own applications, or you know, which we use on a I would say almost on a daily basis. Like my postal the postal company I use to send or to receive packages, they use a similar solution to receive those packages as well, which it works really well. It's a digital sign is directly accepted, so it reduces waiting time in like you mentioned, scanning and or printing, signing, scanning, sending.
Yep.
So I agree 100%.
And there was also another thing that I found out is that what they do now, if a waiting paid family is waiting for a match and a birth mother chooses them, then they send the medical information with the background of the birth mother to the waiting family. They do this with email, and that's really a big to share with all information about the birth mother. But if they decide not to move on and not to accept the child, then they still have all the documents in their mail. So what I also show them is we have an option that called view only, what you do with that is you put a document in on Citrix files, and you say, okay, I want to share this document, and for a specified time period, and you can only have to you can only view it. So you aren't able to download it or print it, and you can also put a watermark on it, so you can prevent making photos. So you can imagine that for this, they really, really eager were happy with this, because now they are able to send them medical information from a birth mother to a waiting parent, a waiting family, and they get a time frame to look into that. And if they say, okay, we don't do this, we don't accept the match, then they don't have the document. So this is also something, yeah, that's not maybe not broad out there, but I can imagine for a lot of this, also banks or, yeah, how often does it happen that people send you an email with a document that's only time-based, and if you have it, it's there and stuck in your mailbox. But it would be way better to share it. And you can see it from every device, so that's not a problem. It's time-based. And then if you don't do anything with the document, it's you don't have it. So that's also one of the things that I added to this stuff. So, yeah, at the end, I showed them how I can help with the workspace and intelligence added with Citrix files, and those two combined with the side of the caseworker and the side of the waiting parents, that made a total scope of our products and total, and I made it visible how it can help. And that that was the reason that they chose for me as a winner. So I'm really happy with that.
So, congrats, man. What did you win?
Yeah.
Eternal fame.
Yeah. An air guitar.
No, yeah, it's
high fives.
A lot of them, and I, to be honest, I spoke a lot of colleagues who were really interested about this. So they reached out after me also because they had a similar case and they wanted to use my deck. So that's always good. I work for an American company, and I can imagine that in America, only the number one helps is someone. I get lots of credits and also a prize. Yeah. So yeah.
Hey guys, let's be honest here, right? The biggest win is with this customer.
It is.
You know, eternal fame and high fives. It's all great, but having something to give back to our customers, which enables them to work more efficient, more secure, more timely. That is, I guess, the biggest win for ourselves and for Nick in this example. Remember the whole podcast thing was using technology for the greater good. And I think that Nick outlined perfectly what you can do with technology. If you just take the time to look at a company, look at their processes and define potentially new ways of working using technology stacks like Citrix, like VMware, like other vendors out there, that can definitely help enable people to do their jobs more efficiently. Is that something that resonates?
Totally agree. Become more productive and make people also happier. So also employee happiness is one of the big things, because the days that we can say to someone, okay, you only have one device on your desktop and you have to do, you have to work with that. Those time is way behind us. It's now, okay, if I'm on my on the road, I use my my phone. If I'm on my couch at home, I use my iPad. And if I am working from with a customer, I have my laptop. And then when I work from home, as I'm doing now, I'm sitting behind a 34-inch screen with a decent keyboard, and also the possibility to move my my bureau in height so I can stand and work.
And another thing I think that you highlighted pretty well is that, and that's I think a misconception, is that the digital workspace is for employees only, employees, IT. But in this example, you perfectly highlighted that. For that organization, their clients can heavily benefit from the digital workspace as well. And I think that that's where one of the biggest value adds is. If you look at how we can use technology as a greater good, is with a direct impact to patients or to clients or to other stakeholders than your regular ones within an organization.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, you named a specific example, but this relates to a lot of non-profit organizations in general. So what would be your number one advice if you look at those organizations, how to cope with all of the new technologies that they never had a focus on before?
I think one of the big things is accept that things are changing around you. So don't stuck into your old processes and old habits and old products, but look a little bit further and see how the world is changing and how you can be beneficial putting the right software in place or the right hardware, and have a broader scope and look to your complete stack and the end. Get also details about your own process and where you think that the problems are because one thing to mind, what now comes to mind, I spoke a month ago with one of my customers and they didn't know that they had a lot of issues with the onboarding process. So what they saw is they had a lot of, they put a lot of effort trying to get new employees into the company. And then they saw that quite a few of them left within 1 or 2 months. And they weren't aware that their onboarding process was really, really terrible. So they looked at this and they're now changing this. And now they see that it can be much more beneficial for all of them to make this process smoother so that people that come in are happy and stay there. So I think that's one of the things. But you see it on a daily basis almost, but mostly with companies that take the time to have a broader view at the total scope and also look at what vendors can help them with. Because that's also, I think we do a lot of good work out there, but not all the customers take the time to have a great look how this can be beneficial for them, because they do work as they've done like the last 10 years. And I think for a company, you can't do that anymore. I still see it, but that time is going to be behind us, because if you want to engage new employees and make employee satisfaction rate high, you have to change things. And if you don't do it, I think rapidly other companies are getting your part of the market, and then you have really a problem.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
I think you're spot on there, Nick. Taking a step back, people are creatures of habit, so it's very easy to revert back to your normal status quo, do as you do every single day. It's much harder to take a step back and take a look at what you're doing and how you can do it more efficiently. So I think it's great advice to take that step back and look at what you're doing and how you can do it differently. Not just from a technology perspective, but just start with, is what I'm doing as efficient as possible, or how can I be more efficient? And take a look at the technology stack later on. Just determine if you're able to optimize it first and then move on to technology, because that's the easiest way for people that are non-technical to actually achieve that change, in my opinion.
Totally agree. It's always good to have a look, not first look at the products that are out there, but first look into your process and where can you be beneficial? Where can you help? I had another customer, maybe also a good example. They do a lot of healthcare related stuff. And people go to people and help them with bandages, et cetera, et cetera. They looked at the process, and at that point, the process was, okay, they went to the company, there they printed out with their agenda for the day, and then at the end of the day, they went back to the company, filled in their times, and they went home. So I spoke with the IT manager. He looked into that process, and what he thought, okay, let's give everybody an iPhone and an iPad, and give them the option to use, and it was an ERP program called NetApp, NetApp ONS, and they get a direct viewable agenda from home. And now they don't have to go to the company, but they get at least time benefits of 15 and 30 minutes per day, not having to go to the company, print out the agenda of the day and go home at the end of the day. And now they can go directly to the customer. When they walk out of the door with the customer, they can also hit a button that the time is also done well in the system. And so, and this makes also the life much easier for all the people. So yeah, they bought for every, and it were, I think, 500 people. They bought for 500 people one iPad and one iPhone. But with when you get 15 minutes every day back for 500 people, you can imagine how much time is being saved. But also for the people, when they are now able to drive from their home to the customer, it's much more productive. But also for them, it's much better. So with this, yeah, it was a technical solution. But first, you have to find out that in the complete procedure, they go from home to the company and then go to the customer and then come back to the company and then go home. So, yeah, I totally agree with you mentioned before, Kees. You have to do one step back, look into all your processes and see where the easy and the low-hanging fruit is. Start with that and then see if some solution or products out there can help you with this.
Cool. Thanks, Nick. Let's talk about a completely different topic. And I know both you and Kees are really heavily involved in everything that happens around the Dutch Citrix user group. Unfortunately, you guys had to postpone it due to COVID-19. So what's your plans with the event in general? Can we expect something later this year, or are you going to go virtual, or what's your take on that?
Yeah, for now, we made a hard decision to pick another date. So what we did is it was scheduled earlier for less, I think, within 2 weeks.
This month.
This month. So we now proposed it to June. And yeah, we have to figure out if that's going to work and if everything is normal again, then if not, yeah, we have to figure out how we're going to solve that. But for now, we have to change the date. And yeah, so let's see. I already saw 100 people signed in for that event. And it's in this time, it's really good thing to see. We have a really solid base of people who visit our event, and we always have a waiting list. So,
did we just lose Nick? Land. They
still have, there he is again.
I got a message. Your internet connection is unstable. That's really strange because I'm hooked up a cable. So maybe there was a.
But there's capacity issues over in the Netherlands, right? I mean, everybody's working from home nowadays. So I've seen, as I'm a frequent work from home kind of person, I've seen my internet connectivity go up and down. It fluctuates over the day just because of the sheer request that we're doing on the provider. So I'm seeing similar things. But you were telling about the Dutch Citrix user group. And how we're seeing still a lot of people signing up for the next event, although we had to postpone until June.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we see it with a lot of other related stuff out there, like our Synergy, Citrix Synergy. It's now changed to a digital. They do it now a digital, and you see it with Expert Lives. So, yeah, people not going to travel there. And, I'm looking forward to see how this is going to work, because I think this is a new kind of doing this kind of events. I think it's necessary.
Hey, Nick, you say that this is using technology to for the greater good as well? I mean, if we can contain... a pandemic, as we see today, by using Zoom or WebEx or GoToMeeting or whatever remoting tool you want to have. It's basically changing our lives. It's changing our work style. But maybe it's more efficient. Maybe we can get more work done because of this. Obviously, it needs a little bit of adaption because, you know, if you do a virtual event like Synergy, or do an event like Synergy virtual, obviously there's a lot of European speakers. There's a lot of people from APJs. It's kind of hard to balance between time zones if you're not physically there. But it does enable us, like the technology itself does enable us to do this. And it just needs a little bit of kind of an adaptive work style. But in general, would you say that all of this is kind of leaning on technology for us to make sure that we do have events like this, and we do have like this podcast that we do today that was originally scheduled as a face-to-face meeting, but at least because of technology, you can record it and make sure that we inform people about stuff like this.
Yeah, I agree. To be honest, let's say we see that in this kind of situations, IT can really be beneficial for us all. And I think this may be what now happens can be also for a lot of companies. They don't have a choice. They have to give people the option to work from home. And I think a lot of old-fashioned organizations that were possible to work already for home, but they didn't do it because they think about productivity or that kind of stuff. I think now they see with a lot of people working from home, and I think the productivity is still high, maybe even higher. That the next step is going to be that if this is all over, that I hope that they're going to decide, what happened there? It was really beneficial for us all. Let's move forward and make this possible for everyone. Because to be honest, if you now drive on the highway, you don't see any car over there. I can imagine that if this is all over, that people are more driving.
Hey, man, you live in such an outskirt of this country, you probably see a horse and wagon before cars.
Yeah. but I really hope that with this, people see that this really can work, and maybe we can solve some of the issues that we have with or highways and or traffic jams, etc. People now, even the people who don't like it and were previously not giving their employees this option. Let's hope that they now change minds in a couple of months. And if this is all over, they still give the possibility for people to work from home. That would be great.
Well, I think it's, you know, the pandemic in this case is a disruptor to enable a different way of working in general. And that's if you can say, you know, that there's a good thing out of this mad situation, it might be this. But if you look at the educational part of the events like yours, or Synergy or VMworld or Nutanix Next, I think that, you know, that educational part or that educational goal is something that could be done remotely in a really good fashion, because, you know, remote education isn't new. We're seeing generally known that there are a lot of outskirts in the world. If we are all living in the Netherlands, and the Netherlands is quite tiny and everything is close to each other, but if you look at the US or Australia or certain parts of China or Alaska, those are real outskirts, and it's already in those outskirts is already capable of presenting remote education for students. So honestly, I kind of really look forward to seeing where this all is going, because I'm traveling on a regular basis to all sorts of events. I know cases as well, and not having to cope with jet lags, and that's definitely a big plus. at the other hand, you know, not meeting up with the community is definitely a downside. And I think we'll probably find new ways to get away of that challenge. And yeah, let's see where that all goes.
Next step is to find out how we can virtually drink a beer and eat a decent steak.
Right. Okay. Well, 3D printers
closing,
and
closing note.
Yeah. 3D food printers and mobile drafts might make that happen.
Well, we're already seeing like the V community chat was yesterday where somebody just ramped up a Zoom room and people were chiming in with a couple of Dutch guys. We've got a Zoom meeting, a webinar on the 24th. So that's next week where everybody can just chime in and talk about work from home and their tips and tricks. So you're seeing people kind of stepping up and reaching out to people who may be less experienced in terms of work from home and trying to, you know, exchange tips and tricks and how we get things done versus how another person get things done. So, like you said, it's kind of a natural thing where people are piling up and making sure that everybody feels comfortable with all of this. So, I think it's beautiful and good to see that people are stepping up and trying to help each other, especially across, you know, vendors, especially across customers or partners. Everybody's just trying to make people aware of what of the things to do and not to do when working from home. So, yeah, kudos to the people who are stepping up there.
Definitely. Lots of thumbs up. So, Nick, thanks so much for sharing your story. And everyone, thanks so much for listening. Case, thanks for being a co-host of today's recording. We all hope that you enjoyed this snack as we try to serve you the right amount of EUC for your appetite. If you have anything you want to add here or, you know, just want to stay in touch, reach out to us on the social channels or by email on podcast@euc-digest.com. If people want to know more about you, Case, where can they find you?
Twitter. I'm on Twitter. I'm on different Slack channels. If you want to email me, ping me, it's case@nutanix.com. Feel free to reach out anytime if you need information from my side, if you want to just chat, like I said, on Twitter. If you want to exchange ideas on this work from home thing, then I'm right here, man.
Cool. Nick, how about yourself?
Yeah, also the normal channels like Twitter and you can always drop me an email. See me walk around with like the Dukkug and that kind of events.
Cool. Well, you can find me on Twitter, blog, etc. And Johan at Johan van Amersfoort. And like I mentioned, you can find us on Twitter at EUC Digest and EUCDigest.com. For now, cheers, love, and lots of espressos, and see you guys next time.
This podcast is brought to you by iGel. iGel offers the next generation edge operating system designed for simple, secure, and high-performance access to virtual desktops and cloud workspaces. Easy to implement and straightforward to operate.